The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate locks at basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possession template. What the hell am I reading?
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Bucky's foolproof horse racing method. Yes, Bucky's back after serving 20 hard ones at the state pen, baby, and this time his method of picking winners at the track is guaranteed. You just send old Bucky $50, he's going to send you 10 big winners at any kind of track of your choice. Guaranteed, yes indeed, because the horses he's picked have already won in past races. So hey, if you want the names of guaranteed winners, send for Bucky's foolproof horse racing method.
My work is here now. My family's here.
And I agreed to put Henry in school here because your show went to series. I did that knowing that when you were done shooting, he would come back to New York.
Honey, we never said that. That may have been your assumption, but we never expressly said that.
We did say it.
When did we say it?
I don't know when we said it, but we said it. We said it at the time on the phone.
Honey, let me finish. Sorry, I keep saying that. I thought that if Henry was happy here and my show continued, that we might do LA for a while.
I was not privy to that thought process.
Oh, the only reason we didn't live here is because you can't imagine desires other than your own, unless they're forced on you.
Okay, you wish you hadn't married me, you wished you had a different life, but this is what happened.
So what do we do?
I don't know.
Nora says there's no coming back from this.
Fuck Nora. Hey, fucking Nora telling me I always lived in LA, even though I never lived in LA. How could you ever say those things about me?
Jay said them about me, too. You shouldn't have fired Bert.
I needed my own asshole.
Let's just both agree both of our lawyers said shitty stuff about both of us.
Nora was worse.
Jay called me an alcoholic.
I pulled the rug out from under me and you're putting me through hell.
You put me through hell during our marriage.
Oh, is that what that was? Hell?
And now you're going to put Henry through this horrible thing so you could yet again get what you want.
It's not what I want. I mean, it's what I want, but it's what was what's best for him.
Oh, well, I was wondering when you get around to Henry and what he actually wants.
Fuck off.
No, you fuck off. If you listen to your son or anyone, they can tell you that he'd rather live here.
Stop putting your feelings about me onto Henry.
He tells me he likes it better here.
He tells you because he knows it's what you want to hear.
He tells me you're on the phone all the time. You don't even play with him.
Because I'm going through a divorce in L.A. and trying to direct a play in New York, which closed because I wasn't there. It was a huge opportunity.
Fighting for something you don't even want. You're being so much like your father.
Do not compare me to my father.
I didn't compare you to him. I said you were acting like him.
You're exactly like your mother. Everything you're complaining about her, you're doing. You're suffocating Henry.
First of all, I love my mother. She was a wonderful mother.
Just repeating what you told me.
Secondly, how dare you compare my mothering to my mother? I may be like my father, but I am not like my mother.
You are! And you're like my father. You're also like my mother. You're all the bad things about all of these people. But mostly your mother. When we would lie in bed together, sometimes I would look at you and see her and just feel so gross.
I felt repulsed when you touched me.
You're a slob. I made all the beds, closed all the cabinets, took care of you like an infant.
Makes me want to peel my skin off.
You'll never be happy. And now lay her anywhere. You think you found some better opposite guy than me, and in a few years, you rebel against him because you need to have your voice. But you don't want a voice. You just want to fucking complain about not having a voice.
I think about being married to you, and that woman is a stranger to me. I mean, we had a child.
You've regressed.
Godfather of internet radio. And that's, how do you like that start, huh? Yeah, a little bit confrontation. And the Bard of Broadcasting is here. And we got just wonderful things. If not wonderful, educational. If not educational, then they're worth nothing. But you're here, so stay. And we'll do it. films. I'm also the Vegetable Man, the Third Man, and the Godfather of Internet Radio. What am I? I'm definitely the most fascinating man on the Internet when it comes to radio. And that's my podcast, Pooey, on all of yous. This is me, Frank Atola, the man's name that joins the title of the show. I'm here for you, and if you're here for me, we're here together, so stick around! Ice cap to ice cap from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. This is me. Then, you know, that's a piece, that little scene there from what coming up in the Golden Globe Awards. Not that I care about the awards, I'm just saying that since we're going to talk about divorce and science, scientific divorce, we'll get to it. Point is, that was a timely little piece of the movie Marriage Story, because they couldn't find a better title. Marriage Story is nominated for a couple of awards. I can't keep track of the Golden Globes, because it's TV, it's movies, it's home movies, it's, you know, slides, whatever. And that was a very unlikely, for me, the chemistry of Adam Driver, which is, I guess, you know, the family. He comes from the family who invented the little digital piece that you need when you install something, a mouse or whatever, right? You need Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, who should be, if she's going to act like that, she should be in an Ingmar Bergman movie. Because when you talk about marriage squabbles and bad relationships, you go two places, on the stage to Strindberg and into the movies to Bergman. So there you go. But that is a lot of screaming and yelling. Although, you know, August Strindberg did these tough relationship pieces, that people love to act, actors love to act, and people love to see because they identified with it. Excuse me, the coffee's coming up there. Hold on a second. Let's go get some beverage, will you? The coffee's cold, and I'm gonna just finish it before it gets ice cold. they hadn't had that. Language wasn't used then. You know, language is really becoming out there. There's no more underground for art and everything. Well, there's no more language underground. Language is just out there now. Everybody can say anything. You put it on television. You can put it on, right? Anywhere. And, excuse me. I'm one of those. By the way, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. This is Cattolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cattolo, man's name, but joins the title of the show. I remember, Scarlett Johansson from, you know, it's amazing. Here she was playing that lady with the, in the Avengers with the black uniform. Who is that? Blackbird or, I don't know. What is she? Black Bean or Scarlet? No, she's Scarlet. She's right. I don't know. I forgot her name. The Widow, Black Widow? Is that what I'm thinking of? The Spider? And then she played that, what is it? Machine, the lady who was half, she was really a lady, but the Japanese people made her into a robot. What was that called? I don't know, another comic book thing. And here she is playing in one of these modern August Strindberg type things. But of course, the language is different. Marriage Story is a Golden Globe nominated thing, and I guess you know this Adam Driver guy fit perfectly when I saw him the first time. This, of course, this is my opinion. You have a different opinion? Write to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com. And by the way, we'll get to that in a second too, because we got to, okay. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what I often do. And that's how I keep up with myself. So this Adam Driver guy, he was good in that one of the KK Klansman, the Black Klansman. He was good in that, but I don't know. There's something about him that doesn't fit in these parts he gets. Now, I'm sorry, I was not introduced to him in the Star Wars one of the series things. I was introduced to him in a show, a weekly show, well, you know, a prestige TV show called, I think it was just called Girls. And he played this guy. And he was a pain in the ass guy, you know. And he does. He plays that pretty well. And he played, of course, Han Solo's son who went dark in Good 2. But I don't know. In other words, I'm going to see a movie called Marriage. And this is, you know, this is solely my personal view of it. But you must understand this. You have a personal view of it, too. When you watch a movie, and there's some reasons you don't even understand, you don't like it because the chemistry doesn't work for you, regardless of what the critics say, regardless of how many awards it gets or anything, right? Regardless of how it's written. But I think I have a bias when it comes to Adam Driver. Specific parts, okay? I would never... So, no, in other words, this is the first exposure I've had to this movie. And maybe it will be the only until it goes on Netflix or somewhere else. But, I'm listening to this just as you're listening to it. Maybe for the first time. And I'm saying to myself, I can't see them together anyway as a couple. So if you make them play married people who, by the way, get along very well in the beginning of this movie, as far as I know. And then I just played you one of the arguments they have. The movie, you know, the relationship crumbles. A marriage story. All right, because they couldn't find a better name. So I know nothing else about the piece. I'm just being critical of how Frankatolo, man's name is doing the title of the show, look at Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver playing this couple that was married, had a kid, and now it's falling apart. And I'm going, of course it's falling apart. Look at these two. They don't even belong together. Now, that is petty in a sense, right? And it's unfair because I'm going by looks. I don't know the characters even, no less the people, right? But it's odd to me how I'm stricken, and you are stricken too. Don't tell me you're not stricken, because you know there are things you don't like, people you don't like, actors you don't like, stories you don't like, and you don't know why, and you don't even have to explain why. All you have to do is say, I like that, I don't like that. Everybody goes through this, regardless of whether you're involved in the arts or not, okay? There's just things you like and things you don't like, and, you know, and just don't work for you. And how many movies have you seen or plays have you seen or, you know, where you said, I just don't like those characters. Or that guy, or this one, or that girl, or this kid, right? And, that's the way I feel. Now, the way I feel. I will probably watch it from start to finish when it goes on, but I don't know what Adam Driver can do to win my admiration, to get over the intolerance I have of this guy. I don't get it. Yeah, okay, he's a good actor. I don't get it. I don't even understand, but I know that it's very difficult for me to watch certain things being movies, you know, TV shows, when I just don't click, when there's just something I don't even understand why I don't like it, him, it, whatever. And I guess that goes for just about everything, because people have likes and dislikes, right? Okay, so this Marriage Story thing, and then, you know, so then, yeah, and let me tell you this too. It could be so imbalanced, because I love Scarlett Johansson, okay? So it's the opposite with me and her. With Scarlett Johansson, I could watch practically anything with Scarlett Johansson, okay? It's just something about Scarlett Johansson, okay? So I'm biased in a good way. So I guess that's really imbalanced, because Adam Driver with Scarlett Johansson, forget it. I don't get it, you know? I don't get it. Scarlett Johansson, by the way, is in, which one, the first or second? I think it's the second, and more in Molotov Memoirs. A little story about Scarlett and I in there. That's available. I'm going into a commercial now. Yeah, I am. Anyway, when is it? The January 6th or 5th? The Golden Globes? Golden Globes. The Globes. Oh, everyone say Golden Globes. You know what's going to be great about the Golden Globes again? Ricky Gervais. Whose name did I say it right? Ricky Gervais? 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 I have these blocks. You have the blocks too. Don't tell me this is just me. through the 20 years I've done this show, and people have said, like, well, that's you, and you do this and you do that, you know, and you say this, and you know you're more like me than you'd like to be admitting, don't you? Okay. Now, so hello. And what we're going to do, and why I played that in the first place, and I did not plan it. I just found it. I said, you know, do something for the collage that has to do with divorce. And, of course, you can't have divorce unless you have marriage. So a marriage story. And the reason why, if you went to the blog today and you saw Cotolo Chronicles at blogspot.com and say, what does that mean? Divorce Science Style is a play also on another movie. There was an Italian movie called Divorce Italian Style, which you might not have heard, you might not have remembered. I think there's a marriage Italian. Is there marriage Italian style? I don't know, but I don't remember Divorce Italian Style with the... I don't think that was a... No, that wasn't a Fellini, but it was Marciano Mastroianni. The actor was so... The name was so good, they made it twice. They gave him a first name and said, no. It's Marcel. What's his name? Mastriano. Oh, well, anyway. Wow, that's amazing how the things I can recall. And then I cut Marcello. Isn't it Marcello Mastriani? I asked to the complete, absolute no one in this room because I have no one with me. And like that, I could have done that scene better. But the language, of course, changes because today you're allowed to That's a weird thing, right? You're not allowed. Don't say that word. Don't say that. You're not allowed. Not allowed to say a word. Excuse me. Oh, there's nothing left and there's no more water. I screwed up again. We're going to talk about this study that came out. Science. I haven't read it. As usual, I don't read the articles or the material. Or the books that people write before they come on the show. I like to be, like, you know, one of those people who, you get the existential reaction from me. You will know exactly how I feel then. And if I feel differently, I'll tell you about it next week, but probably not, because I'll forget about it and we'll move on. Speaking of moving on, let's move on. Replenish your precious bodily fluids, just like I tried, but you know, my coffee got cold. I don't have my three beverages. I just have that. But, you know, I'm going to play a song for you. I don't do this, play music once in a while. I'm going to play two things for you. But I'm going to play a song called Divorce. I think it's called the Divorce Song. Something like that. Thank you, Bill, for the Divorce Song. I do have some people that aren't here when I do the show, but who assist me in other ways so that when I do the shows, I can... Okay. And by the way, you are welcome for the wonderful radio. This is... Cotolo Chronicles. I got to come up with like some set lines. This is a show that started it all on internet broadcasting. You got that? This is the show, the original talk show on that, no less live, before there were podcasts, and then when there were podcasts, and now that there are podcasts by all the well-known people of the world. Everyone does a podcast. As this has become a roving media, and Cotolo Chronicles, the original internet radio broadcast talk show, is buried. Okay? Buried. That's what happens. You know, if you're, you know, and it's, because if you're a pioneer, and I guess that's what you can call me, a pioneer Frank, that's what happens. All right? You are, you know, I mean, they have a Columbus Day. Look at him. He's an Italian. He didn't even find America. He didn't stop there. And yet, little children in schools everywhere are taught that Christopher Columbus, the Italian guy, who, by the way, was on Spanish ships. He did this for Spain. Ouch. He did this for Spain. He gets the credit for discovering America. Frank Cotolo, who did the first internet broadcast, which is still on right now, live, and then later is played on stations, and you can get it at Juice Talk and listen to it and stream it for free. And commercial free, too. When will they say, Will they teach those little children about wonderful radio, which was created by me? Will they? Will you pass the word around, please? You can do it. I know you can. So, knowing about marriage, I've been married, knowing about relationships, I've had relationships, you know, knowing all this stuff, as I enter my year, oh yes, that's right, I had a birthday, so I entered my year, so you could go figure out, I don't care, I just don't want to say it right now. I just want to tell you to wake up, it is night. It is night, as opposed to it's wake up, it's night. And you're on, listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. So how do we get into this? I don't know. We got into this way. Replenish your precious bodily fluids, of course. I don't have the red things. You know what I want to do, though, before we get into the divorce thing? There's just a couple of pieces of news. I don't usually do news. And I never do the same thing, you know. I don't really. Well, I have a little. Hey, stop hitting this return here at all. Let me move my mic here. All right, let me move it up there so I don't hit. That's right. I also have, you know what? That's my talk show host pencil, which I can go. Ding, 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 ding. But I know. But I saw a couple of pieces of news I'd like to comment upon. Can I do that? Sure, I can. It's my show. Then I'll tell you other stuff, you know, because we're coming to the end of Y2K plus 19, going into a new decade, and we'll be doing stuff, and I'll be trying to sell you some more books by me and other people who have written books or who have products available on the interweb, and the people who are close to this show and who support this show and who I think you should support them, especially since things, you know, things are not as good as people say there, but if you think, but you know, you've heard some of this news, but I'm sure if you listen to news, you don't listen to news, you haven't. At the risk of dating the program, which is okay, because if you have a time capsule, you could shove it in there. But there's a couple of things I'm even editing. I'm not even going to do all the ones I wrote down, but a couple of things just got me. Number one, how about this? All the people in New Zealand. New Zealand's a small country in Australasia, which includes New Zealand, Australia, and Tasmania. And those three places. But in New Zealand, this small country, there was a volcano eruption. And I got to tell you that I've been through a lot of school, done a lot of reading, met a lot of people. I've been around the world, you know, here and there. And yet, I never knew there was a volcano in New Zealand. Had that been the question on Jeopardy and I made it to the last round, which is highly improbable anyway, I'd have lost, and that was the question, right? You know, it has a volcano that can erupt at any moment. It's, you know, near China or whatever. I wouldn't have known it. But listen to this. Unfortunately, this volcano, and it's a small country, and already I think eight people have been registered dead. And there was two kids, American kids, are dead. And they have an Australian father, or at least a New Zealander, an Australasian father, and had a mother, and they moved there a while back. I don't even know their names, and it's okay. And, you know, let's just keep in mind that this volcano has killed these two kids and six more people as of the time I'm reporting this. If this is actually a report, I mean, that I'm talking about. And the father and mother are missing. So, you know, it's not a good sign. Because most of the people, since the volcano has erupted and spit out all these, what's it called? Lava. I don't even, you know, lava, pieces of rock and lava. I was in Seattle for a while years ago, and it was after St. Helena exploded, and they were selling pieces of the mountain. Yeah. When they, you know, the mountain that had a volcano. And what? You didn't know there was a volcano in Seattle? Hello? In Washington? Hello? Get right, rightish down, said Dr. Fablianic. And then, look it up. Rightish down, look it up. Rightish down, look it up. And then afterwards, I was selling a little, not rocks, but I was selling pieces of ash that I had collected. Because this is really, I think this is like horrific, isn't it? Although I don't believe, I don't know if it was as disastrous. No, it was nowhere near as disastrous. This New Zealand thing is big. Okay, not just because Americans were involved. And by the way, that family had moved there from America. Because the Australasian father was here. Okay, but listen to this. I didn't know there was a volcano, no less it was eruptible in New Zealand. Also, hey, what is going on with my screen? Who put this thing on sleep? Hey! Okay, what is that all about? When did that happen? I didn't make that. I'm going to have to, once in a while, I have to touch this thing so that it doesn't, I don't like that. So there, but the people who are injured are burn victims. That'd be obvious. I'm going to move the whole mic over here now so I can stay closer to this thing and not, you know, have my screen disappear. Burn victims. But listen to this. That's not a stretch of the imagination, right? Okay, but this is what I read, and I don't even know how this happens, but. The government of New Zealand has ordered. I mean, they sent to the United States. This is what they need. So you need anything with that? Yes. You ready for this? 1,290 feet of human skin. 1,290 feet of human skin is being sent to New Zealand for the burn victims. Only those in critical condition. And I'm going like, well, yeah, okay. skin? Where is there human skin that's available to give to people? I don't understand that at all. And that was the bulk of the report I got. Nobody said anything like, human skin? No problem. We keep it frozen. Where do you get it? How do people get skinned? Do they skin people before they embalm them? No, they can't. I don't understand that, and I'm going to look into it. And I want you to look into it, too. And if you know anything or hear anything in this great, big, voluminous interweb, human skin. Now, I don't do skin grafts. I remember way back, because I was part of the telethon when I was in Hollywood. I was part of the telethon that they did locally in California to help Richard Pryor when he was almost burned alive from a mishap while freebasing. And I learned a little bit about skin grafts and stuff because he burned. You know, you burn. And, of course, people burn anyway. I'm just saying that's where I learned something from. And I knew that they did skin grafts. But maybe I'm just way off the mark here. And I don't know that people contributed skin. And, you know, you hear about blood, of course. Everyone knows that. Go give blood to your local blood bank. Is there a skin bank? What is that? Well, I'm going to look into it. You look into it, and we'll all find out about it somehow. But let me just say this, and you're certainly not mocking. I think it's great. You know, if you're really critically burned, I imagine, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not even a biologist, I don't know a lot about the human body. Believe me, there are parts I don't even know how they work. On me and in me. But I can't imagine, you know, where they get skin, how they put it on, or what that's all about. I'm not making fun of this. Skin, is there a skin bank? You know, and obviously the government and the mediticians, I was trying to put physicians and medical people together, and my mind was going, make up a word, metaphysicians. You know, they obviously knew right away. It's like, well, where can we go? And why the United States? Do we have more skin available to give to countries in trouble? I don't know this. I know nothing about this. Not that I should, but, you know, you think that, you know, a rather worldly person who's been on the radio, by the way, the first internet talk show. Anyway, you would think I would know something. So many people know so much more than me, and they don't have a show. No less it was on 20 years ago. It was the first. Okay, I know I'm pushing this. I'm pushing it. But anyway, that is just, that's wild. That is wild. And I'm glad I learned that something, I learned something like that. You know, you don't learn horrible things. You know, I learned that's a good thing. And I'm glad. I would have believed right off the bat if they said there's artificial skin available. I would have believed. And for all I know, no, it says human skin. Exactly 1,290 feet of human skin. Does that mean human skin comes in like, you know, what did they do? How did they do that? How do they measure it? I don't know, but maybe we could do a whole show on that sometime. We'll get somebody. If you know anybody who knows about the skin thing, please have them contact me at fcatolo@yahoo.com. I'll do a whole show on the skin thing. You know, I will. I promise. And you're welcome for the wonderful radio. The only other thing I wanted, the heck with Nestle. Nestle, so there's no more Nestle. There's going to be no more Nestle, remember? Do you know, I wonder if it's still there. Let's see. Nestle is a, was now a chocolate company. It's the one that was in competition with Hershey, which was the biggest, of course. Hershey, I know whenever I went to Hershey, on the Hershey ride where there's this ride, you sit down and it moves around and there's all sorts of multimedia things, tells you where, how they make Hershey bars and how they make Hershey chocolate and stuff like that. And then at the end of the ride, they give you a little Hershey bar when you come off the ride. And, I always like to say, there's always somebody there, somebody who works there, you know, when he's the ride guide, whoever. And, I always like to say, yeah, I like the Nestle ride better. And they don't, you know, they're kids, they don't know. But usually if there's like somebody with a suit on and they belong to the Hershey organization, I'm ready to poke them on, okay? So I do that. But Nestle, I'm gonna see this, had a song that used to be on the commercials. They're going to be no more Nestle. Let's see, N-E-S-T-L-E, Nestle. Nestle Crunch? No, yeah, where was Nestle Crunch? Nestle ad song. Ad song? Here we go. Here's the Nestle commercial song. You're never gonna hear this again. What is this? Nestle Apple Right Sweet Dreams? No, that's not what I want. I want the commercial. Sweet Dreams. Oh, that's right. They had that, what's her name? Yeah, the Sweet Dreams, Nestle Alpine White commercial. No, see, because then they do Sweet Dreams. They bought that later on. The Nestle Crunch compilation. Here, it's just a minute and 20 seconds. This ought to be fun. Here it is. Nestle Crunch. Nestle Crunch. I love this.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe you've done this.
What? Oh, somebody made a thing with it. Compilation. Oh my God, was I not ready for that? Oh, whoa! Oh, somebody did Nestle Crunch. You know what? That's not the one I want, though. I want the old time. Let's see, the oldest Nestle song. I know. Am I wasting time? No, this is never a waste of time. When they spell it out, Nestle song. Nestle song, studio songs, Nestle ad song. With this? No. Okay, let me look. I want to find it so that Pie Big. I thought it would be right there. Oh wow, I remember this. Jimmy Nelson did a show. Jimmy Nelson is like who's that guy? Jeff Dunbar, Jeff Dunham. You know, Jimmy Nelson was a guy who did in the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s. You know, he's a ventriloquist, and he had, here's one for it there, I wonder, he had these two dummies. One of them was Farfel the dog. And you know, you can look these things up on YouTube. YouTube has everything. That's where I'm getting it. Vintage 1956 Nestle Quick. Now, Nestle also had a chocolate thing like, you know, had, what was it, the granules, and you put it in milk and you make Nestle's chocolate drink. Okay? Okay. And they had that too. And let's see, this is Jimmy Nelson, and I don't know the name of his guy, the guy who did. Here's Jimmy Nelson.
What song? I never heard of it. How do you spell it?
V-A-S-S-A-R. I don't want it to...
Vassar. Danny, you're no explorer.
Danny?
Vassar's the girls' school.
You explorer. You are not explorer.
I can't even understand him. Here comes Fawful the dog.
Well, Dr. Nestle's, I presume. Yes.
Whom?
Nestle's, you stupid dog. They make quick. There's milk that delicious chocolatey flavor. Nestle's quick.
You're shouting.
Of course I'm shouting quick. It's something to shout about. Kids love it.
My, oh, my.
Make some for them, will you, Nelson?
All right, I will, Danny.
Jimmy Nelson.
Nothing could be easier.
Really?
All you do is take fresh whole milk.
I hear you talking.
Add 2 spoonfuls of quick, just like this.
Uh-huh.
A little stir.
Stir.
And it's all made.
How about that?
You know, kids will drink up lots more nourishing milk when you add quick and turn it into a real chocolate treat.
Oh, quick. Get Nestle's quick. It makes milk taste like a million.
He means it's good.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
It's awful.
Oh.
You sing.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best.
Sure, and it's chocolate.
Hear that song.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best.
Wait, let me get the song. Here's the song.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best.
Sure, and it's chocolate.
Okay, that's it. You're never going to hear that song again. I don't think you'll ever be able to get Nestle quick again because of the piece of news. N-E-S-T-L-E-S. And it's Nestle's. That's possessive, but it's Nestle is the name of the company. Nestle has sold this chocolate company. There's no more Nestle unless this new company puts out Nestle products. But the ice cream business and the whole chocolate business. Nestle sells American business for $4 billion to a company called Fronteri. Fronteri, F-R-O-N-T-E-R-I, is a large European market for chocolate consumer products. So you can't see F-R-O-N-T-R-I. See, T-E-R, I got to put the T-E together. Fronteri makes the very best. No, it was F-R-O-N-T-E-R-I, T-E-R-I. Yep, F-R-O-N-T-E-R-I. Fronteri makes the very best. No, Fronteri bought the very best chocolate. Bought it. And just between you and me, Nestle is better than Hershey. I know a lot of people are going to say that I'm not being straight with that, that I have a grind. I did a grind. Then you're going to say I have an organ to grind against Nestle, against Hershey, but it's not why I'm saying it. I always liked Nestle better, even before the Hershey incident that you don't know about and I don't tell you. Okay. My name is Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Okay, we'll do a quick one. Two quick ones. I'm practically doing everything. I'm doing them all now. I was doing nothing. I'm going to do one, and I'll do them all, and then we'll go to the divorce thing. Okay, here. Time. You heard about this? Time's Person of the Year was, you know, that little girl who yelled out, kids should do something with climate change. Remember that? Greta, whatever her name is, I'm not even, you could read about that too. Here's what you might not read about. That's Time has its Person of the Year, which by the way used to be Man of the Year. Isn't that amazing? All right. That's how things have changed. Yeah. And it's like in my lifetime, it used to be Man of the Year always. There's always a Man of the Year, never a Woman of the Year, Person of the Year, kid. It used to be a man. Okay. But there's they also have a person poll. I know no one reads. I don't know who reads Time anymore, but apparently a lot of people do. And as a analog magazine, Time's Person of the Year. Oh, that was her name. They made Greta Thunberg and the Power of Youth as the Person of the Year. But there was a reader poll, so readers could say who they thought was a Person of the Year. And the Person of the Year turned out to be a lot of persons. It was a group. The winner, 27 million votes, were get 27 million votes? That's who, I mean, if magazines sold like that, there'd still be magazines, plenty of them. Hong Kong protesters So everyone who was a Hong Kong protester became the, that was the most respected and celebrated person, per se, of the year, according to readers or people who voted. Maybe they don't read it. Number two, according to people, was not a single person. It was the climate change activists, okay, just climate activists, they're called. So people who were out there doing that, high profile people, they didn't give any particular name. But the number three is a particular name, and I don't get this because I had no idea he was so popular this year. Number three, who came in third? Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves. Is that, you know, I thought, didn't we all think, we all thought not long ago that his career was in a dive. And apparently he's incredibly popular. I'll give you number four too, because I only went to four. BTS, the Korean boy band, BTS, was number four. I know what you did. I know. You hear that thing going around? BTS. Here we are. Fake Love. BTS boy band. I don't remember ever hearing them, but let's give a little bit to them. Here they are. Boy with Love. What is that? BTS's Boy with Love? Oh, here they are on Saturday Night Live. Who are they? Maybe I put us here. Here they are. BTS, Boys with Love. The 2019 Mama nominees. Let's see what this says, unless there's a... What? No, YouTube, help YouTube with advertising. No, skip ad. Let's get BTS here. Are they here? This is Mama, best dance performance by a male group. It's going to be award season. Can we hear them? Well, that's low. Boy with Love, BTS. Why is that so low? You got a one here. One of them has green hair. Kids are screaming. This is the number four, according to the people who read Time magazine. What are they, 19 of them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6! And none of them play instruments. They just dance and sing, I'm assuming. And they're going to do that any moment now on this video. BM count. Make it right. Boy with Love, number three, it says. But anyway, they were number four. Here they are singing. You could find them on YouTube. What are they doing? They just... They just dance around. They just dance around. Oh, they all practiced, huh? It's ridiculous you can't see it. Because, I mean, you can just listen to the song, but not seeing them dance. They certainly do rehearse. Okay, there they are, BTS. They aren't as androgynous as I thought they might be, but they are more amazing than I thought they would ever be. My name is Frank Catolo, man of the name adorns the title of the show, and the show has gotten you into, we moved along mighty nicely. We'll be done when we're done, so stay with us. Not even going to take the half-time thing. What we're going to do is play this song, but before we play the song, get into the article about divorce. We're going to do this. We're going to tell you who's coming up. What are we going to tell you? Let's just forget. Just keep listening to Catolo Chronicles, the great broadcast, the only broadcast. You're welcome for the wonderful radio broadcast. And go buy books by everyone. Go to Amazon, buy your friends' books, digital books, or you really want to spend some money, hardcover books. Which are analog books. I mean, I don't know if they're hardcover, softcover, hardcover. And by me, Frank Catolo, by Charles Dennis, by The Artist D, by Karen Wyatt. These are just the ones I'm... And by Mark Kramer. Great new book, Old Man on a Green Bike. I should have my harmonica and do it, but I'm not doing it. Okay, the Barter Broadcasting now takes you to our main topic. I'm going to do that by starting can I get rid of some of this stuff here now that you can remove from list. Okay. I'm going to make this thing a little bit, easier for me to navigate. Okay. Where is it? he said, here it is, the divorce song coming up. We'll play this. And by Liz Phair? Anyway, here's the divorce song. And I'll set up the article. We'll talk about the article right here. Cotolo Chronicles and Frank told me, and you know where you're going, all right? Okay.
Noon. But if I'd known how that would sound to you, I would have stayed in your bed for the rest of my life, just to prove I was right, that it's harder to be friends than lovers, and you shouldn't try to mix the two, 'cause if you do it and you're still unhappy, then you know that the problem is you. And it's true that I stole your lighter, and it's also true that I lost the map. But when you said that I wasn't worth talking to, I had to take your word on that. But if you boxed it up and buried it in the ground, boxed it up and buried it in the ground, boxed it up and buried it in the ground, burned it up and thrown it away. And you put in my hands a loaded gun and then told me not to fire it. When you did the things you said were up to me, and then accused me of trying to fuck it up. But you've never been a waste of my time. It's never been a drag. So take a deep breath and count back from 10, and maybe you'll be alright. And the license said you had to stick around until I was dead. But if you're tired of looking at my face, I guess I already am. But you've never been a waste of my time. It's never been a drag. So take a deep breath and count back from 10, and maybe you'll be alright.
Liz Phair, P-H-A-I-R, the divorce song. Not the divorce, it just says divorce song. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you because that's what I do. The G-H-T is coming your way. Yeah, the God's Honest Truth. Here's the God's Honest Truth. I have no idea about those lyrics. So I don't know the story of that particular thing, song. So I don't know what it, but, you know, a little color now and then. I know, but it's I went and got some water. Maybe that was the best reason for playing it. I don't know. I do know this. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name is doing the title show. Let me put up this volume here so I don't have to jump in and stay so close to the thing. Let's look at this article and go through it and talk about it right here. 9 things that science says can predict a divorce. Now, I'm not going to give you any details based on somebody who's had a divorce and maybe one of the worst kinds. Again, no, that's not true, because I guess the worst kind would be something really physically, you know, and maybe it would have those kind of screaming things like in A Marriage Story. With Adam Driver, okay, but not. I'd say one of the worst kinds. I don't think there's a really good kind, unless, no, there must be. people must sit down and go, you know what? We know it doesn't work out with us, and that's it. And I know people who were married for like, you know what, a year, you know, or something, and then just said like, well, this was a big mistake. They both agreed. They both went on their lives other places. Okay? How was that? But there are more intense divorces. But I will add things that I think I know. And again, everybody has a different, as common as our feelings related to divorce, there are those that are individually, you know, motivated. So I'll say what I got to say when I say it. Look at this. It says, skip all ads. Enjoy a peaceful internet. I don't want to open that. It looks like a commercial. 9 things that science says can predict a divorce. You know, I didn't want to talk about divorce. I never want to talk about divorce. I don't want to. But what got me here is that science. Now, you know, if you listen to this show and have listened to this show from the beginning or maybe in the middle or maybe you're just starting. And by the way, it is the first talk show ever. Yeah. You know that my admiration, my adoration, my magnetism, I don't have to be Mr. Roget here. I love science and math. And if I ever knew too much about it, I wouldn't like it. Okay? So when I saw this article that comes from a website called All Time Lists, and I've been getting this for a while, thinking there might be topics that could pop up on All Time Lists, the ATL, that would be, you know, good to talk about here. But I never used it. Then I saw this. 9 things that science says can predict a divorce. Now you get it? Divorce science style. There you go. Let's read it. I'm reading it for the first time, and you're hearing it for the first time unless you've heard it before. I said subscribe to notifications. Look, I already get this crap, okay? Here we go. What? Why do they put these things right in the middle of the... Continue, click to continue, running it. Fun, popular games. No, screw that. Oh, I can X it out. Hey, yeah, all right. The X as closed by Google. Here we go. Historically, nearly... Who wrote this? I don't know. I told you where it came from. I have no idea who the writer... who writes for this list. Historically, nearly 1 in 2 men... Manages. Let me start again. Historically, nearly 1 in 2 marriages in America ends in divorce. Although recent statistics indicate that the divorce rate is dropping, thanks to millennials, the number of people choosing to get married in the first place is also falling. So you see what's happening? Well, I do. And for those who do take the plunge, remember, marriage, getting married is also known as the plunge, which I don't think is a great phrase or word. It sounds too, you know, okay. But you know, these are writers trying to, you know, spice up. And that's a whole other topic. Let me just read this and we'll get into it. And for those who do get married, there is still a substantial risk, okay, scientific risk, because remember, that's 50%. 1 out of every 2 marriages, that's 50% fail. And for those who do get married, there is still a substantial risk for many of them that the marriage will not last. We're going to go to the 9 things here now. Nobody gets married expecting to get divorced. Listen to this writing. See, I can't stand it. I have to make comment. Nobody gets married expecting to get divorced after what it says. Well, you can't get divorced beforehand. Why does this affect me so? You know why I think it affects me so? I'm going to tell you. It affects me so because I want to speak right. I want to be published because I made mistakes in the past when I was trying to be a writer. I made mistakes, not at school. I used to make mistakes writing and submitting to publishers and things, right? And I knew it was wrong. I knew I had bad grammar. So since I became published many years ago and this, that, and the other thing, I'm like, oh, I want it to be right. I want to be correct. in that as a writer. Anyway, nobody gets, you know what I'll do? I'll edit this as I go along. So these copywriters, all right, they probably don't like Nestle. Nobody gets married expecting to get divorced. However, there are certain indicators that have been found to be reliable signposts that a couple may be headed for an eventual breakup. Now again, a married couple may be headed, right? They didn't even, and a married couple, all right, stop it, Frank. Here are some things that science says it can predict that there will be a divorce. Number 9. Now remember, when it says science, I don't think it's anything chemical or what have you. Probably comes from a study. Studying marriages. Finding common traits of failed marriages. That's what I'm assuming. They didn't say it. They just said science, so I'm going to go along with them. I got to get this other ad out of here. Jesus. Oh no, look how it starts. Oh my goodness. It starts with the world, with the word whilst. Number 9 is, maybe I should look beforehand, right? Whilst. Don't say whilst. The funny thing about it is I've been telling people forever now amongst, you know, using Shakespearean words. I don't care. It just does not count. You shouldn't do it. Right? And recently on the Merriam-Webster Twitter feed, one of the things it said, it doesn't say anything, you read it. One of the things I read was, it agreed with me. It said, don't use whilst or amongst, right? And, you know, that's Webster and Merriam. That's Merriam-Webster. I don't think Merriam was Webster. Was that Webster's wife? I don't know. While there is, I'm gonna edit as I go along just to make it simple, okay? While there is no ideal age at which you should get married, research, now that has a link to it, so they're gonna, you can go and find the scientific research. I'm not doing that now because I don't want to fill this damn browser with tons of things. The research, scientific research, what's that? The science, move this down. The scientific research indicates that couples marrying in their teens or mid-30s. Listen to this. There's a gap. If you marry in your teens or your mid-30s, you're far more likely to get divorced than those who get married in their late 20s or early 30s. Teenage couples are particularly at risk. Older couples should also worry and be careful. One study suggests that those married people aged above 32 have a risk of divorce that increasing by 5% every year. So if you're over 32 and you're married, the next year, and it's a 5% chance. Now, what's 5%? Is that, let's see, 20% is 4-1. Again, odds. 5% is 10, is that 10-1? No, that's 9%. That's okay. It's a better than 1 in 10 chance there. 10-1. The risk of divorce increases 5% every year. So, yeah, you know, how are you going to get, wow. So if you get married at the 32, and it's very unlikely that you'll have your 25th anniversary, right? And this is people who are, you know, variable ages. Unless what comes up is something about the disparity of age, of ages, I don't know. Oh, it's the next thing. Ta-da! Look at that. I didn't even see it coming, but I heard it. Ah, I knew I'd heard it somewhere. The number 8, science shows that the difference in ages between spouses is also, and may also be a prediction for a divorce. The age gap between spouses can be a significant factor. Another study, which was, this one was published in 2015, it found that where there was a 1 year difference in the ages of two spouses, only a 1 year difference, they were 3% more likely to divorce than if they were the same age. That's very low, 3%, okay? That doesn't mean 1 in 3 now, 3%, right? 1% is, you know, 100 to 1. So, and I mean, there you go. These rates amplified the greater the age difference. So, an age difference of 5 years raises the likelihood of divorce to 18%. Now we're getting close to 4-1. More likely to divorce is that. And it says whilst again. While a 10-year gap, listen to this, a 10-year gap increases this to 39% more likely. I had a 15-year gap. Just giving you a piece of that. Just giving you a piece of that. How about this? Here's number 7. Having a husband that does not work full time. Well, this could be fascinating because, you know, women work more than they used to. Married women work more than they used to. Single women have to work unless they have a sugar daddy. There are no statistics on sugar daddies. We'll get that another time on all-time lists. Having a husband not working full-time, 7. Despite all the changes in society in the past 50 years or so, the stereotype where the male in a relationship is regarded as the main breadwinner is still prevalent. Woo! That's going to be a... That I find interesting, don't you? I do. Because many women who are supported by their husband. Now, you know, I can't say that. I haven't done any studies. I'm just telling you about people I know. There's nothing empirical about that. People I know or who have known. Now, if you're going to do an empirical study with your own life, you have to take into consideration the difference of the years, of the things that change culturally through the years. So I can't tell you something I know about marriage and relate it and use like my parents in the same sample as I do people I grew up with. Don't work. Okay? The employment status of wives does not greatly affect the chances of a couple getting divorced, where the husband does not have a full-time job, according to research. It suggests that the couple has a 3.3% chance of getting divorced the following year. Following, that's like the first year, that if you're married, right? Compared to 2.5% if he was in full performance. That's a big change, you know, every 1%. It's kind of like earthquakes. You know, they said, well, it was a 9.2. Yeah, I was okay. Nine, forget about nine. But it was a 4.2. It's fine. But they say it was a 4.5. That's a lot bigger than a 4.2. See, those decimals make a difference. Here's number 6. Having children. This is really where it gets sad, right? You should see the picture. This little girl with a teddy bear, and in the back, kind of out of focus, because this is a field of, what's it called? Field of scope. I don't know what. Anyway. I forgot that term. It's a shame, because the mother and father in the back, they're young. And they got their hands over their eyes and they're like, oh, geez, oh, my God. And you know what? This couple, as far as I'm concerned, looks better fit looks on the petty scale, seem like they should be together compared to Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. I said Scarlett. Punch me, Scarlett. Whether a couple has children or not can have a major impact on whether they subsequently file for divorce. Here's a study in 2010 reported that 66% of divorced couples in the United States were childless, as opposed to 40% who had children. That is a huge difference and a shock to me. I'm shocked. Let me not speak for a second. I'm in cultural shock. That was longer than a second, but okay. It's funny because on, you know, you can't do on radio what you're doing in movies. I can't make a stand. I can't give you a, I have to use words. Now, that should not be taken, those statistics I just gave you, should not be taken as a sign that those couples who choose to have children are any happier than those who opt otherwise. It's more an indication that when children are involved, people are more inclined to make a marriage endure for fear a divorce will have on Oh, for the fear. That's, I can't even read it straight out. For fear that divorce will have a problem, will make a problem, or cause a lack of well-being of their offspring. That's a psychological thing, then we have to go to that from, you know, another area. Okay. Not having children can also be a source of marital, I never liked that, marital. It's marital, but it always sounds like it's incorrect. Not having children can also be a source of discord in a marriage. When one partner is in a relationship, wants them, and the other does not. Of course, the same study as the one I'm talking about, found that such disagreements make a couple twice as likely to seek a divorce eventually. If the wife wants to be a mother, and the husband doesn't want the wife to be a mother, and he doesn't want to be a father. Now I'm sound like Jackie Mason. If the husband wants to be a father, and the father wants to be a mother, and the mother's a father, and the father's a mother, then there's a problem. They have to agree to want to have children. So there's that study. These are, you know, fascinating studies that mean fascinating things to a lot of people. Number 5, the degree of educational achievement. Uh-oh! I did get water on here. Let me have a drink of water. Take a drink. Take a sip of replenish your precious bodily fluids. You know, when you talk, it's very dry in the winter, okay? I know I just dropped a sentence and started another one. It's very dry in the winter, and your mouth will start to want Altoids and chewing gum or whatever. But the best thing, the best thing is always, the best thing is water. Remember, dehydration is the enemy. You don't want to splash water the way I just did on a desk of a digital. Look at that. We didn't go touch anything. Okay. It's just one of those childish things that I like to do. The degree of educational achievement in couples that marry. Bluntly put, here you go. Here's some blunt for you. Bluntly put, the longer a couple have stayed at school, the less likely they are to divorce. Oh boy. Smart people stay together. That's what this is saying. Let's look into it now. That is not necessarily the only reason they would stay together or not split up. The evidence for this is pretty stark. It's stark. It's not pretty. Over half of marriages where the couple did not finish high school are likely to end in divorce. Compared to this, 30% of marriages between college graduates. This is a marked point about relationships. If you're smarter, you're more likely to stay together. I think that's because regardless of emotional corruption, that anyone, even, of course, college graduates can have emotional corruption and problems. Regardless of that, I think what this is all about is that the smarter these people become, the more they're able to balance the emotional drive with the intellectual. So they could talk. They could tell each other what, right? They could talk about it, or they could go see someone. Okay? But what this is saying is that dunce brains, for lack of a better, I don't know what to put it, dunce brain. You're not necessarily a dunce brain if you don't go to school. But, you know, it's saying that education matters in a relationship. Period. Education matters. The reason for this, according to the studies, has been attributed to the fact that lower educational achievement means lower household income and therefore a more stressful life. So I was wrong. Because I was wrong. What they're saying is smarter people live less stressful lives because they're able to manage the things that get in the way of marriages where one or two of the people married can't make enough money to survive, okay? And it's odd, too, that, like, even in the old days, I can't compare that anymore, of course, but, I mean, in the old days, people just had children, And of course, there were religious restrictions. People followed certain dogmas, and you know, so they had to have a lot of kids and what have you. And so that was tough, because in those days, you know, there's an old saying, and it probably still sadly makes sense, and that is, and this is you know, this is something that comes from that, you know, old wisdom. I don't know if it's urban wisdom. I don't know. And I was told this when I was very young, and I think it still matters in a sense. It still makes sense in many ways. I don't know if they studied this, but here's the saying: the rich get richer and the poor have children. That's life. That was how it was described in America. In America, the rich have rich and the poor have children. And of course, that leads to the, you know, the whole thing about abortion. And it brings back the moral, imperative that some people think is an imperative, whatever. So, you know, that happens in culture. Thank you very much for that addition, Frank, who has two children and no marriage. So, yeah, well, it was a marriage, but okay, move on. Money! Money. I don't think money is number four. I don't know if this is just numbered, okay? I don't think this is evaluated. Then this is not like a top 10 list. So when I get to number one, it's not the number one reason. It's not that. And it's either, you know, this combination of these things, and what have you. But I think what all time list is doing is just listing them. Unless I'm incorrect, but I don't think so. I'm going to go with that. Okay. All right. Number four is money. Money is the root of all evil, as it says. Right? Money. But then, if you watch Cabaret, that's a play for those youngins who don't know. Money makes the world go round, world go round, world go round. Money makes the, right? And of course, you can go back to rock and roll. Oh, give me money. That's okay. Money is the root of all evil. And as far as divorce is concerned, a 2012 study. See, what I like about these studies is they're new. Because as I told you before, you don't want to get advice from a couple that was divorced, or, you know, people who were divorced three times or four times or not, or they stayed together, you know. It says a 2012 study found that it was the top predictor of divorce for both men and women, which validates what I said. Yesterday I said number four on the list, but this is the number one still. I remember people saying money is the thing that's going to really, you know, crack it up. And it wasn't in my case, but that's okay. We're not talking about me. We're talking about the general, me and you and everyone who falls into these various marriage situations. Surprisingly, it says, it is not having too little money that is the problem. Although this can be a strain on a couple, the struggle of making both ends meet can actually pull two people closer together. Only like that, right? They can't. You gotta have teamwork. It's not about teamwork. Unless you got teamwork, there's no team. I'm sorry, but as I talk about things, as I read things, I am distracted by the other things that I know that come flying out there of my subconscious and just hey, okay. So, and that's okay. So too little money is actually not the problem. Too much money can be. High income relationships are most at risk, especially where one person goes out to work and the other stays at home. This disparity in earning power can cause friction in a marriage, and high-income earners often have taxing jobs with frequent travel, okay, or long hours spent at the office rather than at home. And what happens? Kaboom. Kaboom. To make all that money, you have to be separated a lot. Now, there are marriages that work best. Nah, that's rare. I'm sorry. Here I go again. I don't have any studies. I can't compete with math or science. I don't have the information or the data. I do have pain spray, though. I said I wasn't going to mention pain spray again. Number three, the choice of profession of either spouse. The choice of profession. Either spouse. Okay? can cause divorce? Let's find out. Statistically, certain professions have been proven to carry a greater risk of divorce. Okay. So, certain people who do certain things for a living and get married, hear that? That's my boiler. I wonder if there are boilers that don't make noise. Silent boilers. There must be. After all, there's skin. You could buy skin, if you, right? So there must be silent boilers. Here's one. Listen to this. Bartenders, flight attendants, and gaming managers are jobs. Look at that, right? Gaming managers. I guess these are people who work in casinos now. Gaming managers. They don't have anything to do with. Yeah, okay. Let me give you that list again. Bartenders. That seems obvious. Flight attendants. That's even more obvious. And gaming managers are three jobs that carry a greater risk for divorce if those people doing those jobs are married. It has to do with the long hours, time spent away from home. We mentioned that before when we talked about finances. And the environments to which people are exposed during their working lives. Okay? You meet a lot of people? You know? There goes a... Where's my button? I don't know where that came... Where did that... Not even there. It's gone. I don't even remember what it said. That was just a stupid old radio trick anyway. Right? You're a bartender. I was learning to be a bartender when I worked doing trivia game shows in a bar. And whoa, look out. I mean, you just, especially if you're like doing that or you're performing or something, you're going to meet people, lots of them, let's just say, all right? You're going to talk to them and you're going to be nice to them and they're going to be nice to you, blah, blah, blah. Trouble at every turn. Now, by contrast, actuaries, medical, life, and physical scientists have among the lowest divorce rates. I gotta tell you this. They used amongst the sons of bitches. I'm gonna get them. I've been using my pencil, but not where you can hear it. Talk show hosts never did that, though. They never stopped what they were doing to do a beat. But I did. So there you go. For them. Okay, there's more. Oh, it's a commercial, man. Be on the cutting edge of gadgets. Screw that. Number two. Oh! I suddenly became a wolf. Oh! Because I saw the headline for number two. Having divorced parents. Yeah, you could put a lot into that pause I just made, couldn't you? Could you just hear all the things, if they, things were objects, and you had a cauldron in that silence, you heard all the things that were falling into the cauldron of having divorced parents being a reason why you or a couple would get divorced. It says right here, evidence. This is, wait till you hear these statistics. You're going to fall down. Are you sitting? You know, you could still fall down if you're sitting, right? Okay. Hold on to your seat. Oh, that's why people say hold on to your seats, right? That's where that came from. Hold on to your seats. Because you could still fall if you're sitting. That, by the way, may be my new book title. You could still fall when you're sitting. Or if you're sitting. There goes. Well, you know, it's cold out and the house gets cold and the studio gets cold. Sadly, if either of a couple in a marriage is the child of divorced parents, the higher the likelihood they will end up the same way. When we talk about, I'm not right, I'm talking to you now. I'm going to read the rest of it, but when we talk about the things that we inherit, the emotional things, the characteristics, the good and bad things that we inherit from our parents or growing up with two parents, when we talk about those things, of course, we're into the Freudian world, and that's just natural. The natural things that happen, good or bad, they're going to happen because your figureheads, as you grow up and you go through the early stages, the most important stages of your life, that help you develop into a personality. Excuse me, two hiccups. That's one thing. Now what we're saying, this is just the fact that your parents couldn't get along enough to stay together. The evidence for this varies, okay? But one study, here's a study, listen to this. A woman whose parents had divorced was 69% more likely to get divorced herself. While, if the parents of both spouses were divorced, the chance they would follow suit increased. It increased from 69%. And here's where we go into a very strange area of math. Okay? Because there's only 100% of anything, right? But this is the way they do it. Okay. From 69%, if both the new husband and the new wife have parents who are divorced, even if they're in, I guess, other, fruitful marriages, I don't know, maybe they remarried or they're not, I don't know. Anyway, listen to how this increases. According to how they do the math, it increases from 69, it goes up another 189%. We can safely say, from these studies, and I don't know how to verify them, I don't know how to make them. I'm saying it's science, so it's math, you know, and I'm assuming, even though they didn't give us the conditions or the samples and the numbers of these studies, here you go. I don't think they're making up although anybody who still writes whilst amongst and other things like that, words might be a little bad with the math, as bad with the math as they are with the English. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. For some reason or another, when I say that, it comforts me. So if I get, you know, out of hand, or like I just did, show some vitriol. Today's show is brought to you by Vitriol, the all-purpose tablet that, well, it wouldn't calm you down, huh? The anti-vitriol. 189% increase. You know, you don't have to put massive. You don't have to say increase of 189% and modify it by saying massive, because there's no such thing as a little 189% hike. It says here the exact reasons for this are not clear. But some experts have opined. Oh, they couldn't say. They had to opine. They opined whilst they were amongst their opination. They opined. Some experts said that is because, whoa, this is horribly written. I mean, this is like horribly written and not proofread or anything. Now I know, Jan, I told you to subscribe to All Time Lists. If you do not learn, you won't learn better English, or, you know, it's the internet is just, you know, it's lousy with this kind of mistakes, like the one I just did. Look, it says the exact reasons are unknown, but experts, I imagine the people who are doing these researches and others, I guess, is because a couple of a divorced parents, the couple of divorced parents lack a blueprint to follow in their own lives as to what a successful and enduring marriage looks like. So, no matter, who they know or what have you, they don't have a model. They need a model just the way, for instance, if you have a father who's wonderful and warm and encourages you to do things and shows you attention, you're going to do that, and you're going to take that as a good thing, and you're going to, somehow you should not be a Jeffrey Dahmer. That's just out. It should not be the example I make. Chances are, right? Just because, you know, I mean, if you have an abuser, that's going to hurt you and your personality and your behavior, which is where we go next. And this, I understand, if it was a list in terms of intensity, I, Frank Atolo, having had experience in relationships and the so-called betrothed state of living, would agree this was number one if it was measured. But let's look at number one. Behavior, this is another word I have a problem with. Behavioral. There. Behavioral. Behavioral. You know what? If you don't know how to, pronounce something, you can always go to, like, you know, dictionary.com, and they have that little thing. I've done that before, haven't I, Theo? From the, here. So this will just be for my dictionary. This wonderful new thing, and I still can't. Well, it's because I'm on the air. Dictionary. I can't even spell dictionary. Dictionary. Yeah, dictionary. No. Oh, my God. Why can't I even type this? This is funny. I just go to dictionary.com here. It just says dictionary.com. Oh, boy, that was a problem. That was a problem. You go here. Where is this? Here's today's. Here's today's word. Where do I write the word? Oh, definitely. Right up here. I'm going to write up the word behavioral. I know some words just get me behavioral. I'm looking for it now. Let's see. It says behavioral. Oh, no, it comes up. Look what comes up. Behave. Not behavioral. The original one comes up, you know. But, you know, if you do this, you know, where's behavioral? Behavioral, I just said it correctly. Content related to behavior. Where's behavioral? Observable, detectable, discernible. I didn't want that. Words nearby behavior. Words that are nearby. Okay, behavior disorder. Maybe this is not a word. Behavioral? It's a word, isn't it? Yeah, behavioral. Adjective. Yeah, behavioral. Well, why doesn't that come up? Why does just behavior come up and not, what's wrong with dictionary.com? It's got a, this website is a very weird
behavior.
I know. I let the child in me run amok. I didn't let my children run amok, but, you know, thank goodness my children, I don't know what's going to happen to them. Maybe they won't get married. Maybe they'll have a completely different
behavior
than I. Let's go back here. Behavioral factors. Oh, let's go over it. We haven't even gone over it. There are also a whole raft of behavioral factors. Let's just say behavior factors of behavior. Why don't you just, because I have trouble saying it. There are also a whole raft, a raft of behavioral factors that can prove the depth of any relationship, not just a marriage. These include certain behaviors which have been labeled somewhat graphically, you ready? For the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Wow. So this is going to be the biggest, and I think it makes sense, strongest and most important factor in relationships, no less marriages, crumbling. It's all about
behavior.
And we're going to talk about it now by giving you the four. Here it is. Here they are. See? That is. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, by the way, are not these things. Okay? See what I'm saying? The four horsemen of the apocalypse have names. They are, right? Sloth. Well, anyway, it's something to do with, you could look that up. Look it up. Write it down and look it up. let me go back to this. What happened? Here we go. Here they are. Here are the four deadly reasons. Let's just say the four toxic elements of behavior that can ruin a relationship, no less a marriage, or lead to divorce, which is what we're talking about. Contempt. 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 Oh, I know what I should do? Yes. Let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, I'm going to do it because we got time and it's fun, right? Here's the first one. I'm going to do it now. The first one is, you ready? The first one, the first of the four toxic elements is, hello?
Contempt.
Thank you. A different guy. Now we got a guy. That's what happened. That's why it didn't go on cue. This is the cue, bud. When I point to you like this.
Contempt.
No, I didn't. I mean that like that. I'm saying let's do. When I point to you, I'm not pointing now. When I point, you know what that means, right? When I point to you. When I point to you, you'll say it. Okay? Here's the first of the four toxic elements. Okay, I'm giving it a time. All right, hold on, right? Here's the first of the four toxic elements. It's
contempt.
Thank you. You did well. Do you know what we're talking about with contempt? Well, let me read what the study says, and then we'll look at contempt in its as a complete word. But in this case, it's where one partner regards the other in a relationship as beneath them. I don't know if that's necessarily. I don't know if that's necessarily
contempt.
I think it. Let's see the feel. Oh well, here, the feeling as a noun. It's a thing. The feeling with which a person regards anything considered mean, vile, or worthless, disdain, and scorn. The state of being despised, dishonor, disgrace, a willful disobedience to or open disrespect for the rules of order of a court. Okay, right. An act of showing disrespect. So that's not exactly what, well, so, you know, where one partner regards the other in a relationship as beneath them is not necessarily contempt. You're having contempt. You actually act contemptuous when you feel the other one is below. But that would, I think that's superiority. I don't think that's, I didn't point to, that wasn't a point, okay? I know you almost started to talk. But when I point to you like this.
Contempt.
No, I didn't point to you. Okay. All right, so that's what that means. Number two, criticism. He's thinking now. Should we continue to do it? Can you do it? Who's going to do it, the girl or the guy? Let's see. Can you even type? Criticism. Okay, can you? Let's go. Can you? Who wants to do it? All right. Shh. Don't say anything. Just say it. What's the second one? Hello? What happened? That's when I point. That's the point. Okay? What's the second one?
Criticism.
Okay. You changed your tone there a little bit. Once more?
Criticism.
Criticism is the second one. The act, and then this is how they describe it. The act in which one person turns the behavior of a spouse in a statement about their character. Wait a second. The act in which one person turns the behavior of a spouse in a statement about their character. Turns? The act in which one person turns the behavior of a spouse in a statement about their character. Turns? That, hey, all-time lists. We're going to have to write to these people. We all know, I'll read it from dictionary.com. This is the noun. Here's the number one definition of
criticism.
The act of passing judgment as to the merits of anything. Two, the act of passing severe judgment, such as censure, fault finding, criticize. It's not necessarily positive thing. Three, the act or art of analyzing and evaluating or judging the quality of a literary article. A critical comment, article or essay, critique. Any of various methods of studying texts or documents for the purpose of... Okay, that's criticism, right? Hey, look what number six is. You can't, because you're not looking at... Investigation of the text of literary documents, especially biblical ones. That's considered...
Criticism.
Yes, it is. Okay, it is considered that. That's two. So you don't want to go, you know, you do, you know what you do, you know, you don't do that right, you do that, you know, that kind of stuff. Or, well, not, I don't think there's any or about it. It's not good if it considered judgment, if it's taken as judgment, because then it comes back, that's actually contemptuous in a sense too. Right? Right? Am I not right there? Let's find the third one. It's coming up. Okay, I gotta find it. I wonder if this is gonna be a one connected to, yeah, it is. I'll just say being as opposed to the word because I don't know if this all time list thing. I mean, the information seems to be okay, but. Okay, how about this? Here's the third one. You ready? You gonna do it? I'll point. Nope, wait till I point. It's when you are...
defensive.
Yes, thank you. Where'd she go? What? How do you guys split this up? The guy and the gal, they usually do is, you know, don't get excited. Don't be so...
defensive.
Okay, that's what? According to... let's go according to ATL first. Commonly found in relationships where one couple in a marriage often assumes the role of victim. Oh, it's your fault. It happened to you. Yeah, I don't know. Here's a relatively contemporary use. It is contemporary because it does, the word developed from the 1950s and the gay community. And I'm not going to go into the meaning. But you'll hear it a lot today, certainly hear it a lot today in politics. Here's the fourth one. Stonewalling. Okay, stonewalling, I mean, here and there I've been accused of this. And that's just too personal to go into right now, but I know it. It's choosing to walk away from a conversation or discussion with your spouse and refusing to engage with them for fear that it may turn toxic. Wow. Something just came to me. And that is that somebody who needs to, let's say one member of the marriage needs to instigate. In other words, you can stonewall after the conversation has begun, or you can stonewall by not starting the conversation. That's also stonewalling. I don't think that's, I wonder if that's in. Let's see if that's it at, I'm going to put stonewall into, dictionary.com and it'll say, I know it's going to come up. Sure. Sure. If you stonewall, you're engaging in stonewalling. So then there's actually a stonewalling? Let's see. No. No, you can't put stonewalling in there. It's stonewall. And of course the ad has to come up and that's why if you click the wrong place. Okay. It's a British. It says British. Cricket? Ah, there are other. Maybe I was wrong. No, it was, okay, it was used because it was taken in America as a proper name, but apparently, I didn't know this, but it's a filibuster. It's also a stonewalling. Stonewalling. So that's, I guess, because you hit a stone wall, you know, nothing happens. Like you hit a stone wall. In cricket, I didn't know this in British. That's what, to play a defensive game as by persistently blocking the ball instead of batting it. It's called stonewalling. If you use it with an object, it's to block, stall, or resist intentionally. I think there's the key one there. Resist intentionally. That means if you have a problem and you want to address it to your spouse, you want to, you know, you say, if you don't, to resisting intentionally. You're the stonewaller. Okay? In British, it's informal. That's the informal. In British, to obstruct. So they use it in Parliament. Huh? Pertaining to or oh, I'm sorry. Did I not point my finger? Okay. What's the word? Not the form of the word. The actual verb is?
Stonewall.
Thank you. We got her. Isn't that a strange thing that it would be her? Are you really watching me? I'll test you because if I point,
Stonewall.
You got, all right, you saw it. I got my hand behind my back. Tell me, you say the word when I point, when I just put my index finger up from my fist. You don't know because you can't see it. Let's see if you can do it.
Stonewall.
You were right. Very good. Thank you, dear. Let's hear it for our wonderful pronouncers, our dictionary pronouncers. But let's be serious. That's it. They're going to give you their conclusion. And then we're going to start rolling on. Rolling. I've got to look for the divorce song. But you know, that's a good way to end this wonderful radio show. With the divorce lyrics. I'll get them. It says here, of course, if some or even all of those factors are present in your marriage, it does not mean that you're inevitably headed to the divorce court. There are plenty of marriages that have endured for years despite disparities of age, wealth, profession status, and even behaviors. However, these factors that should be considered when choosing a potential spouse and deciding whether to marry them or not. Why? Because these are toxic. You can survive with toxins, even behavioral toxins, even marital toxins. You can survive, but I don't think you're going to be very happy. It's not going to happen. All that from, to do that off the top of my head wouldn't have been easy. So at least that's it. Aside from the Shakespearean, you know, maybe this is a British website, which still, by the way, does not give them the right to speak in modern English, not in modern English, or mixing modern English with antiquated English, because that's what that's antiquated English. Sorry. Don't be sorry, right? Let me go to Google and find. But to do that, I have to get this. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to remind you that with the holiday season coming up, digital books are great gifts. And I think you should give them to people you love or you just have friends with. People that you do not criticize or you don't have contempt for or whatever. And people you do not stonewall. Unless the book itself makes a message that you'd like to say, but you can't because you're stonewalling. Where'd I go? What happened to it? I got to write in Google and then find the lyrics to that. So go to Amazon.com and you know the people who are on this list of mine. They include Charles Dennis, who's on this show and who has now Jake Keel on YouTube. He has some books out there in digital form and in, I'm not saying just, but you can buy more digitals, okay? And, Mark Kramer, who has a number of books out, but his most recent is the one you'd want to be reading, Old Man on a Green Bike. You could read my review of it at BarnesandNoble.com and buy it there. Who else? Karen Wyatt. I think her book is still available. MD. I don't remember the name of her book, but it's wonderful. I'm sorry, Karen. I don't remember it. But I'll look it up for next time. And the artist D, who will be with us 2 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks from tonight for the roll call from the Bone Garden. The artist D still has, which is D Shellhammer. You could go to Amazon and other places and find those, her books, his books, their books. I'm sorry. That was a pronoun boner, which I don't think is the way to describe it, but let's move on and find the lyrics and those books. So get them. They're mine at Amazon, Lulu, and Blurb. Who sounds like a team, right? Lyrics. The divorce song. It's going to be here. Look at this, some bitch. No, wrong one. No, that's D-I-V-O-R-C-E is another one. Oh, yeah, I hit the wrong thing. The divorce song. Oops. Oh, boy. There's a lot of things with him. Lyrics. All right, now let's hit this one. I think it, what was her name? Lisa Fair. Yeah, Liz Fair. Let me give you these lyrics. Let me read them to you. And then, we'll head out. And this will put the whole thing together. And when I asked for a separate room, it was late at night and we'd been driving since noon. But if I'd known how that would sound to you, I would have stayed in your bed for the rest of my life just to prove I was right. That it's harder to be friends than lovers, and you shouldn't try to mix the two. 'Cause if you do it and you're still unhappy, then you know that the problem is you. And it's true that I stole your lighter, and it's also true that I lost the map. But when you said that I wasn't worth talking to, I had to take your word on that. But if you'd known how that would sound to me, you would have taken it back and boxed up. Oh, you would have taken it back and boxed it up and burned it in the ground. Boxed it up and burned it in the ground. Boxed it up and burned it in the ground. Burned it up and thrown it away. You put in my hands a loaded gun and then told me not to fire it when you did the things you said were up to me. And then accused me of trying to French it up. Yes, I changed the four-letter word that everyone can say now. And I'm trying to replace it with French. Because I'm tired of saying it and everyone's saying it. And that's my job in life, to do the other thing. More lyrics coming up. But you've never been a waste of my time. It's never been a drag. So take a deep breath and count back from 10. And maybe you'll be all right. And the license said you had to stick around until I was dead. But if you're tired of looking at my face, I guess I already am. But you've never been a waste of my time. It's never been a drag. So take a deep breath and count back from 10. And maybe you'll be all right. The credit goes to Liz Fair. That's P-H-A-I-R. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correct, because I did not know her. There are other songs about divorce. Tammy Wynette's famous D-I-V-O-R-C-E, which you had to spell. And otherwise, you can't just say divorce. You had to spell it. There aren't a lot of songs what you have to spell in order to say the name. Some nice lyrics there. Take a deep breath and count back from 10. Maybe you'll be all right. That's a divorce song. Not the divorce song. Divorce song. Liz Fair. Okay. And you heard it here on Cotola Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotola. Man's name adorns the title of the show. And the show has been Cotola Chronicles. Cotola Chronicles. And it's time for me to sign out of a bunch of things. Yo. And here, let's just say voila. There you got it. We gave you some things to think about. We gave you some things to talk about. And a lot of good advice, because not only about, not speaking or writing antiquated words, but of course, divorce and rhymes. We've showed you rhymes too, whatever the case might have been. But it was good to tell you that. It really was good. You betcha. You betcha. Everybody out there, thank you very much for staying here with me on Cotolo Chronicles. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm Frank Cotolo, and you're whoever. Insert name. We got a lot of guests coming up, you know, as we go into the next year, but in the next 2 weeks, we should be here. We know we'll be here 2 weeks from now with the roll call from the Bone Garden. Keep watching. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Write to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com. I didn't do the contest, but, you know, nobody got the contest of Guess That Song from last week. We'll get back to it next week, if I remember. If not, nobody wins. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located. Don't forget, go out and get books for people. Buy them. Enjoy them. And try to stay together. There's something good about that. And I know that's coming from a three-time failure, but, you know, believe me, it could work for you. I'll leave you now. I got nothing more to say.